my favorite word is capacity. That is my absolute favorite word in my life these days, because the truth is none of us are superhumans, and we all have, we have the energy we have the capacity we have, and it's going to look different on different days. And so I really like, it's important to check in with your capacity. How much capacity do I have? Some days I'm going to have more than other days.
Welcome to Settling is Bullshit, a sweary podcast about claiming your joy. If you are an adult human craving healthier boundaries, a greater sense of purpose, or an increased capacity to feel at ease in your own skin, then you are in the right place, my friend. I'm your host, Kate Blauk, and I'm here to offer you practical tools and playful encouragement to help you step forward and be your most awesome self. My hope is that each episode will leave you feeling a bit more empowered to make brave choices and claim your joy. Hello, my dear. The holidays are coming. They are almost upon us. And so I figured that would be a most excellent time to have an episode about boundaries and how to take care of ourselves in challenging family dynamic situations. And so I'm super stoked to share this conversation with you. Our guest today is Jenny Triansky. She's a personal development coach and former television executive. She's fantastic. Jenny has a passion for helping people value authentic self-care and self-compassion as essential ingredients to living a full and fulfilling life. She believes that taking good care of ourselves, especially on the inside, is how we can bring our best to the work, people, and things that we give our energy to every day. And oh boy, the holidays involve a lot of energy, one way or another, for all of us. So this is just a really lovely conversation and helpful reminder for how to take care of ourselves in the months ahead. And we've got some great practical tools and just loving, gentle reminders for all of us. Speaking of reminders, I'm running a giveaway. So if you enjoy this episode and leave a review, all you have to do is take a screenshot, email me at kate@settlingisbullshit.com, and I will send you stickers. So please do that. Please enjoy this episode. Please take good care of yourself and know that I adore you. So Jenny, I invited you here to talk to me about all of the things that go into navigating the holidays and families and obligations and boundaries and self-care and just that whole big bucket of things that inevitably comes up every year. And that oftentimes, even though I know it's coming, I find myself unprepared for.
Just those small topics.
Yeah, just those little ones, you know, because I know that this is something that you have really delved into in your own life, in your work, in the offerings that you have in your role as a coach. And so I got really excited. I was like, Jenny would be a good person to talk to about this stuff.
I really have come to find tools, perspectives, and ways of living my life that have helped me be more peaceful, more rested, more awake, more responsive, and more authentic.
Well, all of that sounds really yummy. Can you?
Well, yes.
Can you tell me how to do that?
Sure. And my and there is that none of us are really of an expert. Like, we can't have perfectionism around any of this. We have to be flexible with ourselves. So, you know, I am passionate about these topics. I work with human beings in coaching and in my work in general all the time. And there's no perfect answer. And the thing, when we're talking about self-care and boundaries and challenging dynamics, it's going to look different for all of us. So there's no blanket magic wand approach to
man.
I know
every time I have somebody on here, I'm like, maybe this person will have the magic sauce, right?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, I think so many of us are craving easy answers. And the truth is, it is actually it's the harder work that leads to the most fulfillment, which is, and I think, you know, the harder work is being awake, staying awake, which really means, you know, self-awareness, a deep connection to ourselves, and self-reflection and sometimes making some hard choices that disappoint other people. That's harder work than sort of just, you know, going through life in an eyes closed status quo kind of way. But when we rise to the occasion to do this harder work, it's actually more satisfying. And we're living from a place that's more true to ourselves. That's been my experience.
Yeah. Great. Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, and as I was preparing for this conversation, and I knew that we were going to be talking about boundaries and caring for oneself, which go hand in hand, I reconnected to my own work around this. And a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to interview one of my teachers, mentors. I call her my own personal rest mentor on her podcast.
Cool.
Yeah, because she wanted to tell a little bit more of her story. And I had shared with her that her personal story really inspired me, and it gave me a little bit more confidence to lean into boundaries that were needed in my life. And so, yeah, Karen Brody's work is called Daring to Rest, and it's based in yoga nidra sleep meditation.
Okay.
And it's mostly geared towards women because we have been conditioned, trained for so many generations to be asleep, right? And so she, you know, her work is around us waking up to truth and waking up to ways of being that promote a rested self. Like, you know, women are exhausted. I think most of it. We live in an exhausted society. I think society, the way we live is exhausting, period.
100%.
Yeah. But she's really focused on the exhaustion of women that, you know, goes back through generations and healing from that generational exhaustion and promoting a lifestyle where we're coming from a rested self. And so not only have I been doing yoga nidra meditation, her yoga nidra meditations for a number of years now, I also had the opportunity to do a training course with her a couple of years ago. And it was focused around healing the mother line, which was important work for me to do at that time. And
what do you mean?
The focus was around healing our mother line, which really had us looking into the generations of women that came before us in our family lineage. Okay. And looking and learning about some of the limiting beliefs, habits, ways of being that we've inherited that get in our way of us being arrested self. And it also got into some inner child, inner mother work, which I think is also really important when we're talking about setting boundaries. So Karen Brody is an important mentor in my life, in my work, because I have been learning over the years what it means for me to become a rested self. And in her course, she coached me through an issue that I was having that was around accepting a really hard truth with some challenging family dynamics in my world. And, you know, we had this moment where I realized maybe there was a part of me that was resisting. I didn't want the dynamics to be what they were. I wasn't happy with, you know, I didn't want to accept it. But
yeah, I feel like that's so relatable with so many of our family dynamics. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get to choose our family.
That's
we
right.
We don't get to decide how they live their lives.
Absolutely. And a lot of the time, right, we choose our friends and what a privilege. And even then we might still have, you know, challenging dynamics. But with our family, it becomes really complicated because, you know, there are things that are tangled up in those family relationships. Some of them are actually inherited beliefs, like in the family system. Like I know in my family system, you know, there was this value actually of like family first.
And
which sounds kind of lovely. It can sound lovely, family first above everything. But I think what I internalized and what I learned was family first, even above what's right and true for you. Like if you disagree with something happening in the family system or what the family is doing, like it had me question myself instead of trust what's true for me.
Yeah.
And And that can really get in the way. If that's a value that you're holding and you're telling yourself constantly, oh, well, what's right for me is this thing, But oh, I have this value. I was taught family first above all else. That those two things can really be in tension. And it can be really hard to actually get what you need or make choices that are right for you.
Yeah. I'm listening to that, and that isn't the sort of story or value that I inherited that has made family dynamics challenging for me. It's a flavor of that. It's really similar. Like, this wasn't necessarily a family value, but the limiting belief for me was that, like, my needs don't matter, that, like, I don't matter, that I sort of got that for a variety of reasons, usually around, like, when I would make requests and be told that I shouldn't want the thing that I want. Mm-hmm. And it similarly resulted in a lot of, like, not putting my needs first.
Yeah. Well, and same for me, you know, in my own unique experience, I also, you know, I, like you, I am a helper. Like, I know that fundamentally that's who I am in the world. I'm a giver and a helper. But I was prone in the past to overgiving, overdoing, pushing myself, bleeding myself dry. And never responding to my own needs. And I know that that's a really big issue for a lot of people, especially women. But you can see that, like, you can see that clearly, but you need to be able to unpack, like, what are the belief systems that I'm holding underneath all that that has me continuing these habits or these ways of being. And so that's why I think, you know, the work of waking up, as I like to say, the work that we do as coaches, the work that we do with people around self-awareness and being able to unpack and name all these things is really important work to do before you can even look at setting boundaries. Like, how do you know what boundaries to set if you don't even know what your needs are?
Like, and that's what I was hearing in that was that question of, because I had the story that my needs didn't matter, I didn't check in with them. Mm-hmm. I would just try to make people happy, right? Mm-hmm. Because what I needed wasn't important, and run myself ragged and not know why, and, like, not be in the sort of self-awareness and the, like, body awareness to be able to check in with myself of, like, what's happening. In hindsight, having done a lot of this work, I can look back and be like, oh, I didn't believe my needs could get met. So I was just meeting other people's needs and not taking care of myself.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and when you're coming from that place, like, you can't speak your needs if you're not even tuned into them. And you can't be tuned into them if you're not, like, if you're not connected to your body. And this is where this work from this rest mentor has become so important to me. I think I lived the first half of my life from my head pretty much all the time, very disconnected from the rest of me, from my body, from even like, you know, myself on a more spiritual level. I was just living from my head, and there's a lot of judgment, right? Like, I'm a person who's prone to a lot of self-judgment. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I never trusted what was right for me, because, again, I had some of these beliefs that, like, I just have to go with the flow of, you know, the system that I've been, that I was born into. So when I, you know, when I started doing this yoga nidra work and other forms of meditation, it really connected me to myself and to my body. And inside of ourselves, we know what's a yes and what's a no. We actually really do. Our bodies tell us, you know, if somebody asks us to do something and we don't have the capacity, or we really don't want to do it, or it's not aligned with who we are or what we're up for, our bodies will tell us, you know, like,
how
your stomach will hurt.
How does that show up for you?
It actually does show up in terms of, like, stomach aches. Like, my stomach will tell me, tightening up, like a tightening, a feeling in my chest of heaviness. I just know in my gut when something is a no. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you get a little confused, because, especially for me, I get into judgment. And I'll give you an example. You know, one of the judgments that comes up a lot for me, and it probably does come from an inner people-pleasing place, is, what will this say about me if I say no? This person wants something from me, and I'm supposed to be this giver and this helper in the world. But, and I think my gut is saying, this is a no for me. I don't have the capacity for this, or I don't want to do this, or, you know, but my head will, my own self-judgment, my own self-doubt will confuse things. And I will wrestle with this question of, whoa, what does it say about me if I say no to this? And when it comes to family, oh my God, wrapping the family dynamics in there, I'll have these thoughts of like, I'm supposed to be a good daughter. I'm supposed to be,
right?
You know, am I a good daughter if I say no to this thing that's being asked of me? And one of my colleagues, her name is Sarah Smeaton. She's also a coach. I heard her on a podcast a couple of years ago. And I remember her saying, you know, this whole idea of wanting to be a good daughter, a good partner, a good person really can get in our way. And instead, what if we ask the question, what would it sound like or look like if I was being an authentic daughter, an authentic partner, an authentic whatever it is?
Yeah, that's a lovely kind of question, because I don't think I have historically thought about my family dynamics and authenticity. But to circle back a bit to that, like noticing in your body, right? Mm-hmm. If we're coming from this foundation of, if we're going to set healthy boundaries, if we're going to take care of ourselves, we have to be able to check in with that.
Yeah.
The reason I asked how it showed up for you is because it shows up for me differently.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a tightening in the solar plexus, mm-hmm. or like anxiety in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I only recently started a practice of really tuning into that, mm-hmm. like figuring out what happens in my body when something feels like a yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for listeners, like, you can play with this with like, what do you want for dinner tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I don't know, I'm feeling a little weird and emotionally, it's early November, everybody, and things are not my favorite right now. And so like, do I want pizza tonight? Or like, do I want a healthy meal? And like asking my body.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm going to do that right now.
Well, and may I add to that, or a second offering to that? Sometimes what we want is different than what we need. And even playing with that and noticing, you know, part of me wants whatever for dinner. I don't want to put any judgment on anything. Yeah,
yeah. I want pizza. Like, when if I'm just emotionally, so if I'm making the decision from my kind of emotional response right now,
mm-hmm.
like my taste buds and mouth and heart a little bit, like totally want pizza. But when I turn within,
mm-hmm.
and notice what happens when I like ask myself that question from a place of like, hey, system, like, what should we have for dinner tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a like tightening in my core, which I have learned for me means a no around pizza. My body is like, you already ate basically a loaf of sourdough bread and a bunch of leftover Halloween candy today. Like, how do you eat some vegetables for dinner? Right?
Yeah.
And
in that, like, your body is saying, we need some nourishment. Like, right, let's nourish. And nothing wrong with the pizza, but it's like you're staying awake to like to what's true and to the need, like the real need there.
Right. And that is a super handy tool that I've kind of only in the last few months picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So a coach I worked with a while ago tried to teach me this, but she had me looking for a very specific bodily sensation
mm-hmm.
that didn't present for me. And so I didn't think that this approach worked for me, because I was like, oh, like, I don't breathe deeply on a yes and whatever. I don't totally remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so my invitation to anyone listening who this mm-hmm. is new to is just like, ask yourself the question, offer yourself a yes or a no, you know, a this or a that,
mm-hmm.
and notice how it shows up for you.
Yes.
And that's how you learn how your body tells you these things, because we all have different bodies.
Amen. And this
different ways this of is, accessing this information.
Totally. I think that this is the biggest key when talking about things like self-care and boundaries, self-care especially. It's like this thing that's out there in the zeitgeist, and everybody thinks that other people have it figured out, or that there's some formula that you should follow that comes from someone else. And the truth is, we all experience our lives, our bodies, our cues differently. We're all so different. Yeah. And the circumstances of our lives are so different. Our dynamics of all relationships in our lives are different. And I think it's so important for people to be able to trust themselves. And to be able to do that, you have to be connected to yourself. Like, you need moments of, you need moments of silence. You need moments of being with your emotions, being with all the thoughts, reflecting on what's true, what's not true, what's mine, what's other people's. And I think, you know, again, in our busy life, even people, you know, so many people, they go, they make space to go for a walk, but they're listening to music or even a podcast. Nothing wrong with that.
I dare you. I feel so attacked right now.
It's also important. Also important. So important. For real. And we also need to be honest with ourselves about, am I getting time to just hear myself, feel myself, be with myself? Both are really important.
Yeah.
Right? Listening
100%.
Listening to podcasts feeds something. For some people, it actually is a restful practice because it's feeding like a need to learn, and might even have, you know, it helps you self-reflect. But in to really be tuned in to your needs, to your truth, you have to create space for yourself.
Yeah.
So, and I will share with you, there are a couple of questions that I think are super key. Especially as we're, you know, looking, you know, forward towards the holidays and stuff like that, that I don't think a lot of people take the time to ask themselves. So,
are they?
Which relationships in my life are restful ones, and which relationships in my life are unrestful ones?
And
the next question, which is going to lead us into, I think, where we're going, is, and how do I know the difference? How does my body show me what rested feels like and what unrested feels like?
Okay. We're like halfway in. And what do you mean by rest?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean by a rested self?
Yeah. So to me, obviously there's the piece about, you know, being rested enough that you're not exhausted. But the truth is, many different things deplete us, right? Rest is not just sleep. There are many ways in which our energy is taken from us through the day, or we're giving our energy to people and things, whether it's our work, our relationships, different obligations and responsibilities. So, you know, it's really about energy. We all have, and I like to use, my favorite word is capacity. That is my absolute favorite word in my life these days, because the truth is, none of us are superhumans, and we have the energy we have the capacity we have. And it's going to look different on different days. And so I really like, it's important to check in with your capacity. How much capacity do I have? Some days I'm going to have more than other days. And when I say a rested self, to me, yes, getting enough sleep is really important. But when I'm rested inside of myself, my nervous system is regulated. I'm connected and tuned in to my needs, to my level of capacity, to what's true for me, to what's right for me. So it has a lot to do with my level of emotional intelligence, my level of self-reflection and self-awareness. When I am self-aware, when I am tuned in, when I'm connected to my authenticity, to what's true for me, I'm peaceful inside. My life is not perfect on the outside. There's still stresses and stressors, right? But when I can come from that place where I'm very connected to myself, to my needs, to my sense of capacity, to whether my heart is open or closed. I do a lot of self-compassion work, and we talk a lot in self-compassion around, like, you know, intentionally opening and closing our hearts, which I think is also important to recognize.
Ooh.
All of that, to me, like, when I'm so sitting in the seat of self-awareness and being truthful about all these things with myself, being truthful with myself, I'm coming from a rested place instead of a reactive place. When I'm, you know, when I'm reactive, and it happens, right? It happens to all of us. When I'm kind of in my small self, I'm not rested. I'm actually having a tantrum inside. I'm chaotic inside.
Yeah.
But when I make space for myself, when I am able to provide for my needs, which is self-care, I'm coming from a rested self. And that's when I can make really good decisions about my yeses and my noes, right? That's when I can speak my needs and set boundaries that are, you know, I'm putting healthy in brackets because, again, what's healthy is different for each human being. But when we say healthy, it's like, what is going to serve me? I want to be making decisions in my life that are actually going to serve me and allow me to stay as much as possible in that rested self place as opposed to a dysregulated, reactive place. I've been there before. I don't like living life from there. It doesn't feel good.
No, I don't like living life from that place either. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to hear you talk about this in terms of like well-rested. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been thinking and noticing a lot of similar things in the last year, but I've been using the word like depleted. Mm-hmm. Like, does this person, situation, decision feel depleting mm-hmm. or energizing?
Yep. That's what we're talking about. It's all, yeah, that we're talking about the exact same thing.
Yeah. It's just sort of different semantics. And it's interesting mm-hmm. to me because I'm having this moment of like, oh, rest historically has been really challenging for me. So like as someone with ADHD, with CPTSD, like this idea mm-hmm. of rest has always felt like naps, and I have a hard time napping.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people do. So what gives you energy? What replenishes you? What provides? Right. What brings you alive? What actually gives to you?
Yeah. You know, and it really depends on the day. Mm-hmm. It really depends on which battery I'm trying to recharge. Mm-hmm. I have an episode about this. So it's just that it's like, okay, if I start thinking about my energy in different battery sources, like, am I mentally drained? Am I emotionally drained? Am I physically drained?
Spiritually, socially.
Right. Like, which of those batteries is drained? Because mm-hmm. what has historically happened for me is like, I'm trying to recharge the wrong battery. Like, sometimes when I've been on my fucking computer all goddamn day.
Yep.
And I'm just like really like mentally drained, mm-hmm. but like haven't moved enough. Then like what there is to do is go on a walk.
Yeah.
And like maybe be with myself, but maybe I don't even have the brain energy to be with myself. And like what there is to do is to like listen to some fluffy fucking fiction that's just gonna like cheer me up.
Yep. There's a TED talk by a doctor in the US named Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. And this framework she uses is she calls it the 7 types of rest. And it's exactly what you're talking about, Kate. The name of the TED Talk is actually The Real Reason You're Tired and What to Do About It. And then
I can't wait to go watch this. It'll be in the show notes, everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be very validating for you because it sounds like you're already working within this framework. And she talks about the 7 types of rest, which to me also really tunes me into the 7 types of depletion. And I like to have people take it even further. Like, okay, if there's 7 types of rest, which are, you know, mental, physical, spiritual, all the sensory, creative, there's all these different types of rest. Well, then we also get depleted in all of these different ways. You're using this great analogy of a battery. So like, you know, your creative battery gets depleted in different ways. Well, what's going to replenish that creative battery? So it's really important for each of us to be able to identify what are the practices, the behaviors, the relationships in our lives that actually fuel, right? Re-energize or recharge that battery. And what are the practices, behaviors, relationships, et cetera, that deplete them? And if we can get really clear with ourselves about that, then we can get really clear about the boundaries that we might need to put in place.
Right. Yeah. I'm just thinking about this. This is so helpful in terms of the holidays because, you know, honestly, there are a lot of ways in which family things can feel depleting mm-hmm. as opposed to energizing.
Yep.
And so... really putting some intentional thought around that mm-hmm.
even
is so important for then being like, okay, like how do I recharge this battery so that I can keep showing up well with the people that I do love mm. even if they sometimes deplete me.
Oh, I'm so with you on this. That's why I feel like I want to jump on it because this is so important. Do it. And it also helps us ask the question of like, which kinds of conversations or situations are worth giving my energy to and which ones are worth walking away from so that I can preserve my rested self or my regulated self. Because honestly, more and more these days, we are living in hard times, heavy times. Yeah. I have never believed more in the importance and the power of regulating our own nervous systems, and not just for the sake of ourselves, but for the sake of others. Like the more of us who can do this work of being self-aware, tending to our needs, intentionally trying to come from a rested place. Again, rested doesn't mean you're never exhausted. It just means that you're coming from the most authentic and peaceful place inside of you, where you are trying to preserve your self-regulation. Like, don't we owe it to each other to communicate and to be with each other from a regulated place instead of a dysregulated place, right?
It'd be nice.
It would be nice. I know you have a two-parter podcast on nervous system stuff, and it's just so important. And so around the holidays, we know that there's going to be conversations that come up around the table. Like, you know, there's lots of political things that right now that we may have the capacity to lean right into, or we may recognize that, ooh, this is not going to be healthy for me. And my job right now is to keep myself regulated and to, so you might need to walk away, right? It's really important to know, do I have the capacity to lean into this right now, to give to this right now, or is it going to be healthier for me to take a step back, to remove myself?
Yeah. So like in real practical terms, how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so we've listened to my episodes about nervous system regulation. We're like, we're going into the holidays and we're like, okay, I'm going to take really good care of myself. Mm-hmm. I have learned how to check in.
Yeah.
And then I'm at the dinner table and people start talking about shit that I don't want anything to fucking do with because I don't have the energy.
Yeah. So I think there's a few options. It's funny, as I was thinking about coming to this conversation, I had a couple memories pop up of times when I really somehow did have the capacity to tolerate being around or in a conversation that I knew was not necessarily healthy for me, and other times when I had to walk away. And I think, you know, the tools that I've learned, the self-compassion tools that I learned and use all the time with myself and with my clients, have really helped me in those moments. So sometimes when I'm among family or other, even friends, I can think of even conversations with groups of friends where I realize, oof, something is happening inside of me and this isn't healthy. If somehow I do have the capacity to tolerate it, because sometimes you actually want, like, it has to be in service of something, right? Like if I recognize that there's some dynamics happening that I don't really like and they're not good for me, but I love these people, right?
Yeah.
I love these people and I don't get to see them that often. And this is the holiday and I do want to be present. If I have the capacity, I name that for myself. I'll even put my hand on my heart. I mean, you find my hand on my heart pretty much all day long, where I will acknowledge to myself privately, this is a tough moment or this is a tough conversation for me to be around. I'm getting triggered or there's some stuff that's been activated in me. And I actually do have the capacity to tolerate the hard right now in service of the connection with these people or because it's the holiday or whatever it is. Like, these are very personal, intimate moments that we have with ourselves where we have to be really truthful. And then sometimes you don't have the capacity to tolerate it, or it is just completely intolerable. And your body is giving you every signal that says, I need to remove myself. Like, this is an emergency and I am becoming dysregulated. And so self-compassion is like sort of, to me, the first line of defense. It's like putting your hand on your heart, being honest with yourself about what's true in that moment, right? This is a tough conversation. It's really hard for me to listen to this family member spewing off XYZ that I don't believe in. Then it's the check-in with, self-compassion has you really allowing yourself the space to say, it's okay that this is hard. My values are different than this person's, or my opinions are different than this person's. Just to bring a little bit of that common humanity and to kind of like, you know, bring some understanding to what's happening in that moment. And then it really is a check-in with yourself. What do I need right now? What do I need right now? And how much capacity do I have? Do I have the capacity to keep my heart open, or do I need to intentionally close here to protect myself?
Well, yeah. And for me, something that I have learned over time is, like, I don't know if this is just me as a human or about my neurodivergence. Like, I often don't have the capacity to do that at the dinner table.
Mm.
And so just, like, lovely little reminder to all of us, we can always go to the bathroom.
Yep.
Like, we can always get up and excuse ourselves and take ourselves to the restroom.
Yep.
And do the check-in there.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to mean, like, we have to, like, make it weird and leave the dinner table and, like, go into another room in a more overt way. But just being like, oh, I need to go check in with myself.
Yeah. Or I need a breath of fresh air. You don't have to explain yourself to anybody, but everybody's entitled to go take a moment and get some fresh air. And again, making that space for yourself where you can have this intimate moment to soothe yourself. I mean, self-soothing is a big piece that I've really learned, because nobody taught me how to do that growing up, you know, soothing the part of me that is struggling, soothing the part of me that's having that inner tantrum, to say, it's okay. It's okay that you feel this way. It makes sense that you feel this way. You're cousin whoever completely has different values and opinions than you, and, you know, you can still love him from over here, but you don't have to engage in that conversation. You know, in self-compassion, of course, we're treating ourselves the way that we would treat someone else who we love and care about. So sometimes even asking yourself, what would I say to someone I care about if they were struggling with this very same moment? And then allowing yourself to provide that same care for yourself. Practically, I will say I have learned some tools. I have, you know, I have challenging family dynamics. I've been in conversations where I feel suffocated, like where I actually feel like I can't breathe because of someone's energy, you know, coming right at me. And I've learned anything that brings you into presence in that moment. Sometimes it's holding a hot, you know, a hot mug of something, or putting your hands around your glass of water and letting yourself feel the temperature of the water. So bringing yourself, whatever can bring yourself into presence and allow yourself to sort of take that internal breath and that internal pause, even if someone else's energy is, like, really sucking the life out of you, I think is a very self-compassionate thing to be able to do. And then again, it just always comes back for me to that question of, what do I have capacity for in this moment?
Yeah, I was about to, like, zoom it out a little bit, right? Because this has felt like a really good conversation about, like, you know, when shit comes up at the dinner table or whatever. But also stepping back and thinking about, like, when we have all of these kind of competing demands on our time, and, like, you know, whose house to go to when or how much time they want from us, or what activity they want us to do because family and it's the holidays. How to navigate that space of wanting to do some of the things, not wanting to do all of the things, knowing that, you know, certain people might want us to do all of the things. And how do we navigate that?
This is the story of my life and all of ours, really, right? Because there are always people who are wanting things from, we all want things from each other, and sometimes that's beautiful, right? We hopefully have lots of great connections and great people in our lives, and there's always stuff that's wanting our attention or our energy or our time. And again, we're not superhuman, so we are limited. We're limited in actual time and energy. And so, you know, this is where I think we all need to become aware of the inner people pleaser, which a lot of us struggle with, right? When the people pleaser just wants to keep the peace and doesn't want to disrupt, you know, any kind of harmony, we need to call that out and notice that, okay, this is, if I'm going to say yes to all the things, then that's probably coming from a place of wanting to, like, not wanting anyone to be disappointed. But what I've really come to accept, and I swear this took me years and years and years, is that it's okay to have people sweat. And I'm going to tell you where that comes from. Mm-hmm. There's a boundaries expert. Her name is Sari Gilman. She also has a great TED talk where she talks about, you know, boundaries are it. Your whole life story is made up of your yeses and your nos, mm-hmm. and how we all have an internal compass that, like, if we're really honest with ourselves and tuned in, you know what's a yes and what's a no. And so, you know, we're always afraid that we're going to disappoint people when we say no. But when that happens, when you are able to speak for your needs and say what's true, and you don't have to do it harshly, you know, I think a lot of us think a no has to be harsh, but it can be very compassionate. You can acknowledge to the person that you recognize that you might be disappointing them. But when you find the courage to say the no or set the boundary, what happens next is everybody might sweat a little bit. Right? The other person over there, they might be disappointed that things didn't go the way that they were hoping for. And now they're mm-hmm. They're sweating. And you're sweating over here because you're making up all these stories.
About what they're thinking.
Are they going to be mad at me? What does this say about me? All that stuff. And if you can just tolerate and accept and be with that moment of sweating, instead of catastrophizing it, like, okay, here we are. We're all sitting in this place where some disappointment has been created. And it's really just a little bit of sweating. And you know what? Most of us can survive a little bit of sweating. You might disappoint someone, but they will move through that experience. It's okay to disappoint people. I've really had to cut, like, you know, even in my parenting, I'm trying to model for my daughter and teach her that life is going to disappoint us. You know, I'm going to disappoint you, kid. You know, it happens all the time. And I still love you. And you can tolerate this. It's okay that you're disappointed. But we need to be able to live in the place of disappointment and then be able to pivot. Like, once I set that boundary and I say that no, and I'm really true to myself, like, I can't do all the things and say yes to all the things. I'm really sorry that this disappoints you.
Yeah. And just to interject there specifically, as like, I've got ADHD and I want to be able to do all the things for me. Like, sometimes I'm the one I have to disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big part of my journey in the last couple of years, is like coming to terms with like what my actual capacity is, mm-hmm. not what I want it to be, and not what it was when I was like 22 and totally unself-aware of my nervous system and was just like running on diet pills in my early 20s, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that has also been a really key component for me, is building the willingness to like say no to myself, mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. right? Like, sometimes it's about, I want to make other people happy. And sometimes it's like, I want to do all the things. Like, I want to go to the, you know, the karaoke and then the holiday party the next night and then the brunch the next day and then the like mm-hmm. dance party that night. And like, I can't fucking do all of those things.
Yes.
It's like not how my system works.
Well, and as someone who cares about you, and so, you know, and this is what we want to cultivate as our own voice of self-compassion. I might say to you, Kate, you are an incredible human being the reason that you want to do all the things is because you get joy from so many things. Like, you take pleasure in so many things. But the truth is, you are only a human. You're not a superhuman. And so you only have limited capacity, just like the rest of us. So yes, there's you know, if you could just soothe that part of you, that excited part of you, that alive part of you that wants so badly to do all the things. And, you know, like, oh, I hear you. I feel you. What a beautiful intention. Like, you want to be doing all the things, but the truth is you just can't.
Yeah.
You just can't. So then, okay, then we need to take stock of what are my priorities? What really matters? Right? Like, and I think, again, these decisions that we make and the boundaries we set, they have to come from a really self-aware, awake place inside of us. We can't be running on autopilot, because then you are just going to say yes to all the things.
Right. And like, thinking about, you know, family commitments, especially, something I have cultivated is that a shorter quality engagement mm-hmm. is so much better for everyone
mm-hmm.
than this sort of standard, like, oh, well, we're in the same place that we're not usually in. So, like, let's spend all our time together.
Yep.
And that is deeply depleting for me mm-hmm. as someone who is more introverted than I used to realize and, like, really need alone time to recharge.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me. And it's actually a gift to everyone when I say, I'm going to go do this for a while, or like, this is when I'm available. But that was a really big step I had to learn to take, that like, mm-hmm.
yeah,
I'm a grown ass person and I'm allowed to say, like, I can't be around you until noon. Like,
well, again, I mean... that takes courage, because you're probably, yeah. you're going to disappoint some people and everyone's going to sweat. And so learn,
yeah.
the more you do it, the more you can tolerate the sweating and actually know that it's all going to be okay. And I love what you're talking about, because again, to me, you're talking about a rested you. A rested you
yeah.
spending quality time with people, they're going to get the best of you.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
right? In order for me to spend time with you from my most rested self, from my most alive self, from my most awake self, with all of the goodness that is me, I can't be depleted. So that means I've got to go recharge my batteries. I have to be honest with myself. I can't bleed myself dry. And that requires courage. It requires clarity and courage. And it sounds like you've practiced and I've practiced. And the only way to get
yeah.
good at it is by putting it into practice.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking about like a few years ago and that people pleaser part of me being so much more active and all of the like uphill struggle around doing the work for myself and then trying to take care of myself amongst folks who don't share this vocabulary mm-hmm. of nervous system and depletion and like how hard it can be to like feel like I'm carving out that space.
Mm-hmm.
And finding the words
yeah.
with folks. And I'm just curious if you have advice around that. Anyone who's listening to this podcast obviously like has some familiarity with the kinds of things that we're talking about. But when we go into family or social dynamics where that might not be part of a shared vocabulary, like how do we communicate this stuff with people who don't get it?
Oof. I mean, it's a question I wrestle with all the time. And it's important to ask the question, right? Like what is the best way to communicate this in each individual situation and in each individual mm-hmm. relationship? Because I've come to realize that there's some relationships in my life where the other person, like truly, truly just, they won't understand. It doesn't matter what words I use to try to help them understand where I'm coming from over here. We're going to be speaking different languages. And that's painful. That can be really, really painful to acknowledge, but it's what's true. And so again, this is, you know, this work of accepting what's true, even if you don't like it, but recognizing that you can't change it. There's certain people they're just never going to understand where we're coming from. And so what I do is I soothe myself. Again, I use sort of my self-compassion, self-soothing tools to help myself through the pain of that truth. And then I find ways to hold my boundary or speak my needs. Sometimes with some people, it's very little words. Like I don't have to give all the explanation because again, I just I recognize
it
will never be received. They're not going to hear
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah.
And with other people, I might take that opportunity to give a little bit more explanation, understanding, so that we can have mutual compassion, even if we don't agree.
Right.
I have three sisters and all of the dynamics are pretty different, but one of my sisters and I, we're quite different and we disagree a lot. But I also know that she's open to hearing where I'm coming from when we have capacity, when we each have capacity. Sometimes we don't, and then we don't have those conversations.
Right.
But when we do, I can really get curious. Instead of judging her, I can get curious and take in where she's coming from, even if I don't agree with it. And she can take in where I'm coming from, even if she doesn't agree. and we can at least have a little bit of mutual respect and understanding. And I find that to be very connecting. It connects us even though we might still be disappointed because we don't agree. Whereas with other relationships, there's a lot more internal work that has to happen, again, to soothe myself through the pain of the disconnection. But it's not worth my energy to try to explain myself to some of those people. I just have to set the boundary. Sometimes in those relationships where I know that my reasoning won't really be well received, I've learned that it can be connecting to acknowledge the disappointment of the other person. Like, I'm really sorry, Dad. I can't come to the dinner. Like, I know you really want me to be there. And I know that you were really counting on it. And like, that must be painful for you. But like, this is what I need to do for me. And I ask you to respect it. Like, sometimes just that sounds very compassionate to me instead of just a hard no. But I think that over-explaining is also it's an energy depleting thing to
do. Right. Yeah. I think that also is part of the pleaser coming out is this sense. I mean, for me, it's like, oh, I need to give you all these reasons why I can't because it's not okay for me to just not want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a big growth thing for me in the last few years, was like recognizing that I didn't, like, underneath my shit, didn't believe that, like, I was allowed to just not want to. That, like, that was actually enough of a reason. I felt like I often had to come up with an excuse of like, oh, well, I'm sick, so I can't. But it takes a lot of courage to just honor that, right, in the authenticity piece.
For sure. And sometimes we come up with excuses, right? Like, and if that's what's needed, okay, that's what's needed. But I often find that when I'm giving all these excuses, it doesn't sit right with me or feel good in my body afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one that sits with sort of the untruth of that. And I don't, you know, that doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah,
it's much more empowering, you know, that idea that no is a complete sentence and it doesn't have to be mean. You know, I'm really sorry. I know you're disappointed, but actually for me right now, today, it's a no. It's really empowering to own that.
It is. It is. It's also really hard to give us all a bunch of compassion, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because again, our fear or our self-judgment can kind of really create a lot of stories around that. You know, again, what will this say about me? What will they think about me? What will the implications be for the future of our relationship? But a lot of that stuff is just chatter that is coming from fear. And so, again, just being able to soothe that tantruming part of ourselves and to provide some reassurance the way that we would to someone who we really care about, who struggles with the same stuff. We all struggle with this stuff. Every situation, every relationship is different and calls for different things. But that's why, again, it just, for me, it comes back to the importance of being tuned into myself, tuned into my needs, tuned into my capacity, tuned into my yes, my no, and my truth.
Right. And what's coming up for me listening to all of that is also just the reminder that I know in early recovery, especially, like, I needed this, that, like, when possible, to drive myself places, like, to have access to the capacity to leave and the, like, permission to leave. Like, we don't actually have to stay to make other people happy or because we have put ourselves in a position where we're trapped, you know, like, similarly, like, not necessarily staying with family can be really helpful if we're traveling for the holidays.
And they might sweat over that, or it might hurt their feelings. But if you know that that's going to allow you to show up in the moments where you are going to show up with them as your best self, as your most rested self, as your most regulated self, is it not worth it? Like, that's what is the point otherwise? We don't want to walk around our lives feeling completely dysregulated and discombobulated inside of ourselves. I would much rather, like you said, have less time with people, but, you know, feeling my most alive and my most present and my most capable.
because, right, our families are the ones that made our buttons and they are the ones that push them, mm-hmm. right? And so for me, you know, like my situation is that I grew up in Las Vegas. My immediate family is still there. And so when it comes to holidays and things, like, I have to go there mm-hmm. because there's only one of me and many of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it there mm-hmm. for all sorts of reasons. And so it is really important for me to set those boundaries of, like, I need to, like, have my journal and my quiet time in the morning so that I can show up rested.
Yep.
And not be, you know, a snippy little brat.
Yes. And if we're going to put it in that context of the seven types of rest, that's you anticipating the emotional depletion that you know, because you've been there before. You're giving yourself emotional capacity. That is the ultimate self-care. That is authentic, right. sustainable self-care. That is something that you absolutely can stand behind, that you know is important for you, and it's going to fuel you enough so that you have enough to give.
Exactly. But it took me so many years of, like, not doing that well mm-hmm. and then being snippy and, like, getting into the kind of, like, old, mm-hmm. easy familial dynamics yep. that, like, aren't how I want to be showing up.
Absolutely.
And aren't ultimately leading to, like, genuine quality time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's been probably one of my biggest lessons around the holidays and family travel, especially, is just that, like, to reiterate, like, it's better that they have less time with me that is really quality time mm-hmm. than it is for us to all be all up in each other's shit and get annoyed with each other.
Well, and I also think when I'm hearing you talk about, and I'm imagining that for you, it's also for yourself, because you want to be able to leave that scenario feeling good about the way that you were able to show up and
yes.
connect with those people who you love. You know, yeah. if you didn't do all of that stuff to protect yourself and regulate, you might come home with some unhappy memories and some right residual stuff inside of yourself where, you know, now you're suffering hey. Over not being proud of how you showed up. So it's totally. it's a compassionate act to self and a compassionate act to others for us to be this present to our needs and to respond to them.
100%. Mm. Okay, Jenny, what else are we missing? Is there anything else we didn't?
Let me see.
Any closing thoughts?
This always happens when I do a podcast. I'm like, what did we just say? And where did we just go? And is that all? Right. Is it all over the place? But I'm going to trust.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we touched on self-preservation. Mm-hmm. What is a boundary?
Well, it's so funny. There's so many different ways to define a boundary. But again, I have to go back to this idea of an inner sense of rightness. I talk about this a lot. Nobody else can tell you what's right or wrong. That is a felt experience in your body.
Yeah.
So I think boundaries are not, like, the first step is recognizing what is a yes for me, what is a no for me. And then you need to put a little strategy and thought into, okay, what does that look like practically? And then how am I going to communicate that to the people that need to know, you know, what the parameters are? Like, yes, I will see you on Sunday, but it has to be between this time and this time. Because, right. again, you don't need to give all the explanations, but for you, you have to be clear, you know, I only have the emotional or the social capacity to be able to give to that person 2 hours of my day. And I want to be able to be clear because, you know, this might be a person who I know if I'm not clear, they're going to just take.
Yeah. One of the other definitions of boundaries that I really like is having a clear sense of where I end and you begin.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's a great one.
Especially in the context of people pleasing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is actually mine?
What is mine? Well, and I love that question in general. Like, again, when we're going back to sort of the beliefs that we carry around taking care of ourselves, around what we're, you know, giving ourselves permission to say yes or no. What, like, you know, what beliefs around that are mine and which ones of them belong in my family system? Like, it was right. put upon me when I was a kid, but actually now as a grown up, that's not mine. I don't believe that. So being able to really honor, this is what's right and true for me. This is what I believe now in my adult life. This is how I want to live my life. This is how I want to flow through my life. And this is what I want to give my energy to. We have to be able to speak our boundaries so that we're in charge of what that looks like. You know, I think also boundaries have to do with what we let in and what we keep out there. I think that's there's a big piece of that as well. And there's no hard lines. Like, again, I think we need to be flexible with ourselves because it's going to look different on different days, depending on how much we have to give.
Right. And a hard truth that I've come to terms with is that I can't always predict with like good accuracy, like what my capacity is going to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now. You know, what I can do when I put shit on the calendar is really be attuned to that and like prepare myself in the sense of, all right, let me think about, like, let me be intentional about what that thing is. What do I need to put in place around it so that I don't wreck myself? The ways that's showed up for me in recent years is making a rule where I don't travel out of town more than once a month because I just, it wrecks me. And when I get home from travel, I have a day off the day after I get back to like reacclimate.
That's great.
You know, because otherwise I end up running myself ragged.
That's so self-supportive. And like, again, to me, what you're describing is the ultimate form of self-care. There's no better way to take care of yourself than to be honest with yourself. Like, these are things that provide for you, Kate. Like, no one else from the outside can make up those rules for you and tell you that's how you should live your life. Like,
And especially because, like, some people can travel more than that.
Yeah.
I used to be able to, like, again, back when I wasn't very aware of my own internal signals and would go through cycles of, like, mini burnout because I wasn't able to, like, really listen.
But
I've tested this enough that, like, it's true for me that, like, I need to put that boundary in place so that I can show up well for the things that I do commit to.
Absolutely. I think, again, also allowing for some flexibility, like if some amazing opportunity comes up that, you know, then it's really asking, then you have to be honest about, okay, at this moment and given all my obligations, given my calendar, given all the things, do I have enough? Do I have the capacity to take on this extra trip? Because it's really going to bring me fulfillment and joy, right? I think for me, you know, I run my own business. I have a child who I'm very, very hands-on with. I have a big family. I have a lot of obligations and a lot of stuff I feel on my shoulders at any given moment. I have come to realize that I truly need moments of rest that I take whenever I can get them. Like, I used to have this belief that I could never take a nap or lie down in the middle of the day. And I actually am someone who I do these yoga nidra naps and they take me into a very deep state of rest inside of me. When I come out of these yoga nidra naps, I'm more creative. I'm more present. I just have more access to like the best parts of me. And so in my former life, I used to work in TV in a very fast-paced industry where my hours were really, really long. It would be unfathomable to create that space for myself. But the truth of my life now is that I'm my own boss. And so if I let myself be handcuffed by these old rules or these old ways of being, and I tell myself that like, oh, you know, it's so unproductive to take a yoga nidra nap in the middle of the day, A, I'm lying to myself because the truth is it really provides for me and it fills me up. And B, that is me getting in my own way. So I have a whole a new orientation to my life because I really want to give the best of myself to the people and the things that matter to me. And in order to do that, I have to be rested.
Oh, I love that. That's one of the sort of practices I encourage is an examination of like, what are my shoulds? What are my rules? And I'm going to take that forward into sort of thinking about the holidays. Like, what are my shoulds? What are my rules? What are the like, it has to be this way. It can't be that way.
Yeah.
And like kind of pulling those out and looking at them with a little bit more intentionality.
Yeah. You know what? Another good one on the same track there is asking yourself, like, what are your someone like me would never You know, like what are those things like? Oh, and I've worked with a lot of women in particular around that question, like, oh, someone like me would never take a lunch break because I just have to barrel through my work and get through the day.
Oh, God.
And, you know, what I've heard that a lot from people. Like, and so it's,
yeah,
it's
no, I believe it.
It's really good. It's really useful to wake up to these, huh? So I've created a rule for myself. Someone like me would never blah, blah, blah. It's like, who says?
Yeah.
Who created that? Where did that come from? And can I challenge that? Is there a different way of being that actually would be more self-supportive, more self-caring? Right. And I just haven't seen it because I've been walking around with this belief that someone like me could never do that.
Right. And to circle back to sort of the beginning of this conversation, right? Like, what are the rules around like what it means to be a good daughter would never.
Yeah, exactly. The invitation, and it's my constant invitation for myself and for others, is again, like, to scrap that idea that there's a way you need to be or a way you should be. And it's like, what is the authentic way of being that promotes my authenticity? What is the authentic way of being? What is true to me? That's the ultimate question. Yeah. What is actually true to me?
Ugh, Jenny, beautiful. Thank you for this glorious, marvelous introduction to the holidays for all of us.
Yeah, thank you.
The encouragement. So where can people find you?
Hang on. I'm going to say one more thing. We had our Canadian Thanksgiving that already passed. And I was sick. I actually did travel way too much in September, October. And I knew it. I knew that I was pushing myself too much. I did it intentionally, but I did pay the price and I got sick. And yeah. I had to cancel all of my Thanksgiving plans.
Oh, no.
And you know what? Again, there was some sweating that happened there and some disappointment that I had to be with, that some family members had to be with. But I had no choice. I mean, I really had no choice then to provide for my needs. And we get over it and we move through. Yeah. And then there's always other ways to, you know, make it up to people or forge that connection if we're really missing that connection. So I think like this year, especially with things are heavy out there, give yourself permission to do it the way that is going to really provide for you and provide for your needs.
Mm. Yeah, I love that.
Yes.
I'm writing myself that permission slip right now. Anyone listening, I'm writing you a permission slip also.
Okay, me too.
Let's all get through the holidays and life in general, if you're listening to this at a different point in time, taking care of our actual needs.
Yeah, permission to take care of you. Where can you find me? You can find me on Instagram. I have to say I am posting less and less there now because I am in a season where it doesn't feel super healthy for me to be on the social platforms as often as before. However, I post there.
Good job taking care of yourself.
Thank you very much. You know, and I have to wrestle with the voices in my head that say, but you're running a business and you have to be out there.
Yeah.
You know, I post on there when I have a burst of inspiration that I really, you know, I intend or I hope will be helpful for other people. So you can find me on Instagram at Jenny Triansky Coaching. And you're going to put this in the show notes.
And that'll be in the show notes.
Yeah. And you can, I'm on Facebook under the same handle. My website is jennytriansky.ca or .com. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. I write professionally for an organization called LifeSpeak that is work that really lights me up. And so a lot of those articles that I've written are on my website in the articles section.
Awesome. All right. Final question.
Mm-hmm.
What brings you joy?
I love this question. It's funny. I knew you were going to ask that question and I allowed myself to get quiet for a second and just have little hits of just visuals and memories sort of come to me. And so there's a few, the things that kind of came to me in the moment where I allowed myself to feel into the joy. Honestly, food brings me joy, really delicious food. When I allow myself to be present with it and savor it, it's something that connects my husband and I. We really connected when we first met over our love for food, really, really good food and nourishing food.
So like what is a joyful meal specifically?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard question to answer because I enjoy so many different types of food. But when I share a meal with someone when it's beautiful and there's intention okay. that's been put into sort of the beauty of the food, but also the intentionality behind the ingredients and the way that the flavors and the textures work together. I mean, truly, this yeah. does bring me joy. It brings me yeah. into so much presence, and I so appreciate it on every level with all of my senses. It really brings me joy. But I think it also speaks to what brings me joy are those little moments in life of pure presence and connection. And so just last night, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and we decided to try a yoga class together that's for like mom and teens. And there was this moment in the yoga class where she reached over and took my hand. And I can't even tell, like, the joy that flooded into my body in that moment. It was validation of our connection. Like, wow, yeah. like my child is like, we are connected. And I think, honestly, those moments of human connection, whether I experience them all the time working with my clients and in my relationships, and then also with strangers, like those small moments of pure connection, human connection, that really, really brings me joy and lights me up.
Thank you so much, Jenny. It's been a treat.
Thank you so much. This was so wonderful. And it's been such an honor to witness you bringing this podcast to life and all of your passion, the passion behind all of the ideas that you want to share with people. I just wanted to add that it's like a double joy to be a guest on your podcast, but also to just see this work that you so believe in being out in the world.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really mean that. Hmm.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please help me grow the podcast by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it with anyone you think would benefit from hearing it too. Your support means the world to me. If you'd like to get updates about new episodes, posts, and offerings, please visit settlingisbullshit.com to subscribe to my newsletter. You can also find information there about working with me one-on-one to build your most amazing life. Until next time, remember that I believe in you, and that you are fucking awesome.